Happy 32nd anniversary, the Maples Evangelical Church. What is it that appropriate message for us to hear during anniversaries? Well, we'll see. I believe any passage that God would give us from His Word is very appropriate. The title of the message this morning, Way of Life in Christ, is very appropriate. Yearly we celebrate our church anniversary, and by the grace of God, we grow mature spiritually as congregation and individual believers. We have overcome adversities. We continue to gather in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. It's proper to celebrate anniversary as a church, to thank God, to thank Him, to praise God, to praise His name. And as we grow in our faith in the knowledge of Christ, may His name be glorified in His church, the Maples Evangelical Church, and in our lives, individual lives, now until forever. Amen. Together, let's prayerfully put into practice what it says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 to 15. Let's read together. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, and bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace and be thankful. Someone was asking, which side would you be supporting during the war? There's only one side that you would support, someone said. The side of peace, because we are called to peace. If it is the side of peace, you support that. Certainly, we need inspiration of the Holy Spirit for us to be compassionate, to be kind, to be humble, to be gentle, to have patience, to bear each other and forgive one another just as the Lord forgave us. But how do we know that we have received forgiveness from God or not yet? How? We don't feel that grudge. We don't feel any grudge when we receive forgiveness from the Lord. When we are offended, we release that grudge. The Lord took that grudge away and fill us with that forgiving heart. Practically, we sense it in our heart. When we forgive anyone who may offend us, we don't sense anything that's like any burden or any undesirable feeling deep inside us. That's how we know that we just received the forgiveness of God so that we can forgive. We just don't forgive by our own self. Why? Because our instinct is to hold grudge, to hold that hurt. Wonderfully, the Bible says we are blessed, chosen people of God. We are consecrated. We are sacred. We are holy. we are set apart for His glory. How do you appreciate such mystery, mysterious identity? Being holy, consecrated, sacred, and set apart for the glory of God. How do you sense that? How do you appreciate that? Do you sense some kind of uniqueness? It's not because you have that unique identity or something else, but this distinct identity from the rest of humanity is something that we should cherish, that we are to celebrate not just during church anniversaries, but every day of our life we should celebrate being chosen, sacred, consecrated, holy people of God. If you cannot do that, and we just cannot do it, ask the Lord, Lord, help me celebrate that in my life. Ask the Lord. Let the Lord fill our heart. It's appropriate then for us to thank and praise God, our Lord Jesus Christ, now until forever. Because it's Him who called us. It's Him who made us holy. It's Him who made us sacred by faith in Christ. Together, let's reflect on our privilege as blessed and chosen people of God. Let's reflect on that. And let's read verse 15 of our passage. Even if you had 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I became your father through the gospel. That was Apostle Paul telling the Corinthians. But let's reflect on our spiritual birth. Reflect on your spiritual birth. Do you still remember the person who shared with you the gospel of Christ? Can you remember the time when you first heard the gospel of Christ? Do you remember the person who shared with you that Christ died for our sins, that the Lord took away our sins and nailed them on the cross, and trust that Christ has paid all the penalty of our sins? Do you remember that? Do you remember the time when you were assured that one day when Jesus returns, He will take us into His heaven? Do you remember that day? The person who led us to trust Jesus Christ, the person who shared with us the gospel of Christ, is our spiritual parent, spiritual mother, or spiritual father. Think about this. Is it possible to grow spiritually alone? Is it? Those who teach us to understand the gospel deeper, those who help us understand how to live in the way of life in Christ, they could be other individuals, they serve as our spiritual guardians. And Apostle Paul reminded the Corinthians that he was their spiritual father. He implied that as spiritual father, they should respect him. They should listen to his admonition as their spiritual father, just as they respected their fathers, their parents. And those who come after him and preach Christian doctrines and beliefs to them, to the Corinthians, they serve as spiritual guardians. Well, not everyone is privileged to have their own biological father as they grow up. But the story of Queen Esther may inspire how to succeed despite of adversities. It narrated in Esther chapter 2, verse 7. Let's read this. Mordecai has a cousin named Hadassah. whom he had brought up, because she had neither father nor mother. This young woman, who was also known as Esther, had a lovely figure and was beautiful. Mordecai had taken her as his own daughter. When her father and mother died, maybe the mother, the parents of Esther, died during the war, and the Babylonians exiled them from Israel. Anyway, before Esther, you know the story, Esther became a queen, queen of Persia and Media. Before she was chosen as queen of Persia and Media, the former queen, Vashti, the former queen, she was deposed. She was removed from the throne, from her throne, after she disobeyed the order of King Xerxes, the king of Persia. From numerous candidates that were chosen, Esther was chosen as queen of Persia. How? Was it because of her lovely appearance? Well, accordingly, the former queen of Persia was lovely and beautiful, and when Xerxes, King Xerxes, was drunk, she wanted to parade her and show her beauty to the nobles and military leaders and princesses of different in his kingdom, because Queen Vashti was very beautiful. And yet, Queen Vashti disobeyed Queen Xerxes, and she was deposed. She was removed as queen. So, the beauty figure of and lovely figure of Queen Esther was just one factor, but not the main factor, that she was chosen as queen to replace Queen Vashti. Well, did King Xerxes choose Esther because of her character? What was the character that made Queen Esther stand out among the many beautiful candidates? Let's read one character that Esther had in Esther chapter 2, verse 20. Let's read. Do you have that passage? Verse 20. Esther had kept secret her family background and nationality, just as Mordecai had told her to do, for she continued to follow Mordecai's instruction as she had done when he was bringing her up. At that time, at this time of this passage was written, Esther was already chosen as queen. And yet, being queen, she continued to obey the instruction of her adopted father. Mordecai was not her biological father, but Esther obeyed him even after she was chosen as queen. She could just easily disregard that Mordecai. But now, she had respected her adopted father. What can we learn from this amazing story of Queen Esther? Well, most often children respect adults who serve as guardians when their biological father is absent. It's a reality that cannot be denied, and many celebrities would say, my father died, and I have this stepfather, and he served as my father, and they respect their stepfather, their adopted father. The church in Corinth has spiritual guardians. Apostle Paul was their spiritual father to the Corinthians. Traditionally, it suggested that Apostle Paul stayed in Corinth for 3 years, but after 3 years, he went to the next mission point. And other preachers like Apollos, Peter, they came and preached and lead the church in Corinth. And they won the heart of, in minds of the Corinthians. And that was when Apostle Paul heard from the household of Chloe and other church leaders that there were quarrels, there was division, there was faction in the church of Corinth, among the Corinthians. And as spiritual father to the Corinthians, Apostle Paul sends his father, his parental responsibility, the responsibility as father, spiritual father to the Corinthians, and rebuked them. He rebuked them, just as caring father rebuked their children when children quarrel. Fathers, have you seen your children quarreling? They quarrel sometimes, and fathers would rebuke them. Let's reflect on what Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 and 6 teaches us. May my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. Do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. Look at that. First it says, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. Do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the ones he loves, the one he loves. He chastens everyone he accepts as his son. The Lord rebukes us also when we are not doing what is right. But what is the biblical meaning of the term discipline here? What is it? It is training, discipline, training to reach the full development or full maturity. It helps, it guides. The Lord disciplines us when we take the wrong path. The Lord wants us to take the right path, leading to his, to the way of life in Christ. He wants us to follow that path. But sometimes we want to take, we are attracted to other things, and we want to go to that path or that path. And the Lord rebukes us. The Lord brings us back to the right path in Christ. The instruction of the Lord, his word, is our guide for best life that the Lord had designed. Now think about that. Do you believe, do you truly believe that the Lord has had created you? Did the Lord create you? Do you believe that sincerely? If Christ had created us, he knows what is best for us. What do you think? If Christ knows the best for us, it is but proper for us to listen to his instruction, right? Now, for you who have military background, in military training, there are instructions and activities that trainees should follow. You follow this, it looks nice, it looks good. Like, for example, in marching as a battalion. If everyone in the battalion do whatever they want, like taking picture, and you are taking picture, what do you call that? You want to take picture and you make face or like that? What's the instruction for that? When you are taking selfie, no. Group pictures, and everyone was very, very appropriate at first. Wacky move, something like that. Yeah. You want wacky move, and you want to take that picture of a moment where everyone do their own posing, everyone not standing straight. People are just trying to make something, and so that in that picture, they would see, oh, that was me. I know that. That was me. I know that was what I did when we had that picture, group picture. Now think about that during military parade. They are just doing their wacky thing. How would that look like? This is why there are instructions. for us to have that uniformity, we have to do it the right way. And that would be great. But many people do not understand that. This is why they rebel against uniformity. They rebel against tradition. They rebel against culture. They rebel against anything they can rebel against. And surely there are, in military, there are also abusive trainers who punish trainees without any reason. We cannot discount that. But parents and hoping to be parents, is it proper to punish children when they misbehave or naughty? Is it proper? Think about this. Before punishing your children, give clear instruction. Give clear instruction of what should be done and what should be the repercussion of unacceptable behavior. If you do this, I will do this. Do you accept that? And they say, yes, they agree. If you are late at night, the curfew is 10, you come 1 minute later, one palo. What is palo? One smack. I don't know. One kurot. I don't know. How do you do that? 1 minute. 1 hour later, the person was late. I don't know. But children can learn proper behavior from the teaching and also behavior of parents. Parents, our children are observing us. So when we behave, they will follow. It says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, let's read meditatively. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise, so that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life on earth. Originally, when Apostle Paul wrote this, to whom did Apostle Paul wrote this? Did he write it for children who do not know how to follow? Or children who cannot understand? This reminder was written to remind spiritually mature believers. This biblical truth cannot be easily accepted by just anybody else who can read. It is not because they read, they understand. If children understand that it is a blessing for them to honor their parents, they will readily obey their parents. But why is it that they don't readily obey parents? Because they just do not get the concept of it. So we just do not use this passage to tell, the Bible says, obey your parents. Or God will get angry. No, that is not. It did not say, or God will get angry. It did not. Do not include, do not add. And many parents would add it, even if it's not there, right? Just to scare. But we cannot force children to obey. They need to understand that there's blessing of obeying. Until they understand, they will obey. So what can we do, parents? We pray for children to be inspired by the Holy Spirit, because we need the Holy Spirit before we understand the Bible, the Scripture. Similarly, children can only understand that it is blessing for them to obey parents, to honor parents, when they are filled with the Holy Spirit, because a person without the Holy Spirit can never understand anything that comes from the Holy Spirit. We learned that previously. What do you think? we continue to pray. So pray for children to be inspired by the Holy Spirit so that they may obey. They may honor their parents. And in that, as a result, they may have blessed life. Enjoy long life on earth. Enjoy. Not just for 5 minutes enjoyment, but long. Every day they will enjoy. They will praise God. They will thank God. They will thank God for you, parents. And that is one thing that you would cherish all the days of your life as parents. When you hear your children, "Lord, I thank God for my parents." When they are praying, and they are praying, praising God for you, that is the best thing that you can say a reward of being parents. Apostle Paul wanted the Corinthians to remember him as their spiritual father who nurtured them, which was the reason he sent Timothy to them. Let's read again verse 16 and first part of 17 for passage. "Therefore I urge you to imitate me. For this reason I have sent to you Timothy, my son, whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord." Well, Apostle Paul testified that Timothy was faithful. He loved, he nurtured him as a spiritual son. Well, it's possible that Timothy heard the gospel from from his grandmother Lois and mother Eunice, because his grandmother Lois and mother Eunice, they were believers. And if that is the case, then Apostle Paul may not be necessarily the spiritual father of to Timothy, who shared the gospel to Timothy, but he served as his spiritual guardian. Yet Paul counted Timothy as his spiritual son, his beloved son, just as he counted the Corinthians as his beloved spiritual children. And the reason why Apostle Paul sent Timothy to the Corinthians, to the church in Corinth, was for them to imitate his behavior, the behavior of Apostle Paul, through the examples of Timothy. That through the life testimony of Timothy, they would be reminded of the lifestyle of Apostle Paul so that they may imitate Apostle Paul, his behavior. It is glorious for feeling for parents to see children behave properly. What do you think? There's this glorious feeling, not proud feeling. It's not proud feeling. It's glorious. That's the feeling. That should be the term that you would use. Glorious feeling, not proud feeling. Don't say when your children graduate with honors, "I'm very proud of you, son." It's not. It's not proper, because God opposed the proud. It should be, "I feel glorious." I don't know how you would phrase that, but the feeling should be the glorious feeling. It's not a proud feeling. But many, many are still using it. "I'm proud for you, son. I'm proud for you, daughter." Because they don't just know how to describe that glorious feeling, but it is glorious feeling for parents. Where in secular word, it's proud feeling. But we need to educate the Christian community not to use that proud word, unless you are really proud. But to be proud, remember, God opposed the proud. Remember that always. So if you have that glorious feeling when your children did something wonderful, you do not try to impress others. It's not. You want to cherish it deep inside, not just for a moment. You continue to remember that, because deep inside you rejoice. You remember the time when you were so happy and you were crying. That's not the feeling of being proud. When you were crying, when you were happy, that's the glorious feeling, the description of glorious feeling. the sense of glorious feeling. It's glorious feeling for parents to see children behave properly, but that is not the case for every children, for every parents. Not all children want to learn from their parents how to behave properly. What can we do, parents? What can we do? Let's reflect on the biblical narratives of Job. Job was described as blameless. Job was described as upright. He was described a man who feared God, man who shunned, do not follow evil, despise evil. That was Job. But together, let's reflect what it narrated in Job chapter 1, verse 3 to 5. His sons used to hold feasts in their homes and their birthdays, and they would invite their three sisters to eat and drink with them. When the period of feasting had run its course, Job would make arrangements for them to be purified. Early in the morning, he would sacrifice a burnt offering for each of them, thinking, "Perhaps my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." This was Job's regular custom. Now, here is a biblical story that contradicts the saying, "like father, like son." Job was a God-fearing man, but his children were feast-loving people. Job prayed for spiritual well-being of his children, but the Lord let his children tragically die. And also, everything that he accumulated, his wealth, was gone just like that. And God allowed such tragedy to a blameless, upright Job. What else? His friends came, friends of Job came, they pretended to be concerned of him, but they offended him sarcastically by their misplaced rhetoric and argument. Have you had similar problem with individuals who pretend to be friends instead of giving you comfort, instead of praying for you? They critically offend you. Anyway, with all the undesirable struggles that Job endured, he remained faithful to the Lord. He remained faithful. Eventually, it narrated in Job 42, 12 to 16. Let's read this. The Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the former part. He had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, 1,000 donkeys. And he also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. The first daughter he named Jemima, the second Kezia, the third Kirin Hapuk. Nowhere in all the land were there found women as beautiful as Job's daughters. And their father granted them an inheritance along with their brothers. After this, Job lived 140 years. He saw his children and their children to the fourth generation. This amazing story of Job, it illustrates possible heartbreaking problems that God may allow us to endure. Do you trust that difficulties in life, they are essential, integral part of His wonderful plan for you? How about self-inflicted problems? Well, faith in God is proven practically as we trust in His faithfulness. Faithfulness even to His promises. It's a reminder for us all. How do you trust God? Do you trust God that He would bring you into heaven? Or do you also trust Him with practical problems? Let's read again verse 17. "For this reason, I have sent to you Timothy, my son, whom I love, who is faithful to the Lord. He will remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees with that I teach everywhere, in every church." Paul was confident that Timothy will exemplify practically his way of life in Christ. He personally observed the faithfulness of Timothy. In the Corinthians, they personally know Timothy because Timothy was a member of the mission team of Apostle Paul when they started the church in Corinth. And Apostle Paul testified of the involvement of Timothy. He actually wrote it that Timothy helped in the spreading of the gospel in Philippians chapter 2, verse 23. Let's read Philippians 2, 23. Timothy has proved himself because as a son with his father, he served with me in the work of the gospel. He served in the furtherance of the gospel. Timothy was faithful. And Paul trusted him so that he sent him to the churches that they started, the churches that they planted. He sent Timothy, go visit them because I cannot go there this time. Timothy had observed personally. He observed that sharing the gospel of Christ attracts persecution. He observed when Apostle Paul was persecuted, but he remained faithful despite severe persecution. But not all the members of that mission team, members of the mission team of Apostle Paul were faithful. They were not every one of them were faithful. We can find the story in a narrative in Acts chapter 15, verse 37 to 40. Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with him, but Paul did not think it wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the believers to the grace of the Lord. Both Paul and Barnabas, together they were commissioned for mission. And John Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, maybe he was thinking at first, oh, this might be exciting. So he joined them. He joined them. But later, he returned to Jerusalem for personal reason. Maybe he missed at this time. He's still young, maybe in his mid-30s. And he missed his father, a mother, his parents. Accordingly, John Mark has had a wealthy family. And I don't know, maybe he missed the life he had previously. That's why he left the mission team of Apostle Paul. Barnabas and John Mark, they were cousins, and they left the mission team of Apostle Paul. That difficult situation may not be easily forgotten by Apostle Paul. He had good time in working together with Barnabas, but they just left him. Maybe he missed them. It's not recorded if the members of the mission team of Apostle Paul told the Corinthians about John Mark, that John Mark deserted them. I don't know. It's possible that Apostle Paul instructed to his team, focus in sharing the gospel. Just focus on the sharing the gospel of Christ. But when he mentioned the faithfulness of Timothy, he implied an expectation similar faithfulness from the Corinthians. He didn't want the Corinthians to desert him. Inspired by his Holy Spirit, faithfulness to our calling. When we are inspired by the Spirit of God, we can be faithful because faith, the product of faith, is faithfulness, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, so that we can live in the way of life in Christ. There will be division, there will be faction in any local church. That is possible. There are genuine believers, there are pretenders, but we invite anyone who wishes to join us because we know God has perfect plan for all. Amen. Here's a reminder to everyone. Be certain that you personally receive the gift of faith from God. Ask yourself now, do I have faith in God? If I die today, tomorrow, or there will be misfire somewhere of missile or bomb, nuclear bomb, and it will drop right here, will I have that confidence that Christ take me into his heaven? If you have doubt, ask the Lord, Lord, give me the gift of faith, even now, silently. Believe in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. On the day Christ was crucified, the Lord took all our sins, nailed them on the cross. The Lord had punished every legal requirement for us to be forgiven of our sins on the crucifixion of Christ. And be certain that His Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, lives in you actively. Even now, ask the Lord, Lord, I want to be sure that your Holy Spirit lives in me. Please send me your Holy Spirit so that you may discern when the Lord speaks to you personally how you may live your life in Christ. And as we celebrate our 32nd anniversary, let's personally claim the Lord's promise and bless each other, similar to what it says in Numbers 6, 24, and 25. And let's stand up. Let's read. The Lord bless you, keep you. The Lord makes his face shine upon you and to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Now, look at each other. The person beside you. Say it. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make your face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. Let's pray.